Amen. That was cool watching him get baptized, Tyler. Awesome. We sang it earlier. There's no sound louder than a captive set free. There's no sound louder in the world than a captive set free. I love that phrase, singing that this morning and then listening to Tyler and watching him get baptized. Beautiful. And the time it took the Lord, you know, a couple of years. Beautiful timing of the Lord. Never gives up. He's always pursuing us with his love. Beautiful. What's really cool about all of that is, you know, we've been here this weekend and having a great time. And then the chance, opportunity to speak this morning. And I was thinking about, praying about, asking the Lord, you know, what do you want to share this morning? And I started thinking about this particular guy I met a while ago. And then when we were praying earlier this morning with the prayer team in here and the things they were saying that the Lord was putting on their heart, and it was just really affecting me because it was thinking about this one guy. And I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning, and I got my phone and I texted this guy. And I haven't seen him in a long time. We don't see each other very often, but we text back and forth all the time. And I texted him, and I knew he would text me back. If he wasn't up, he would text me whenever he woke up or wherever he is. And came into the service, you know, pray with the prayer team, come into the service, and they start singing the song, "There's No Sound Louder Than a Captive Set Free." And I keep just thinking of this guy, and he texts me back while we were in the front. And listening to Tyler in the first service to his video, and it's all so beautiful to me because of what the Lord was reminding me of, just how involved he is in all of our lives, even when we're not paying attention, even when we're like running away, he's still there. So this passage in John was heavy on my mind. John 10, it's my favorite, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, John 10. So I'm going to read it to you here. Jesus speaking, "But he who enters by the door is the good shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for his good shepherd, this good shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." So the good shepherd here, the gatekeeper lets the shepherd in. The good shepherd comes in to the fold. And what he does in the fold is leads the sheep out. So if we open the back doors there and let Jesus walk in, he would come in here and he would call all of you by the name that he has for each one of you. Each individually, he would call you and talk with you, and then he would lead us all out. He wouldn't let us stay in here. He doesn't like the sheep to stay in a fold. We like the fold. I like the fold. I like being with other sheep that think exactly like I do. But the shepherd doesn't, the good shepherd doesn't let us stay in the fold. He leads us out. "When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from the stranger because they do not know the voice of the stranger or recognize the stranger's call." So we'll follow the shepherd out because we can hear his voice and recognize his voice, and we're not afraid out there of being deceived or getting lost or anything, because we don't recognize any other voices except his voice. Like, that's the voice we hear in every situation that we're in. No other voices. Not the voice of the world. Not the voice of anxiety. None of those. We only hear his voice because he's the only one that calls us by name. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "and I know and recognize my own, and my own and recognize me, even as truly as the Father knows me and I also know the Father." That's the depth of how much he knows you. Is in the same way that he knows the Father, Jesus, is the depth, the intimacy that he has with each one of you. That's why he is the only one that really knows your name, really can say your name deep down. And Jesus says, I have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold. I must bring and impel them also, and they will listen to my voice and heed my call, so that they will become one flock. All the folds going out there as one flock under one shepherd. Wow. So the goal is to be out there, not to be in here. So in here, what we do, Hebrews says it, don't neglect the gathering together of the saints or the sheep to incite one another to love and good deeds. That's what we're doing in here. We're getting excited about what God is doing, what he's doing, what he's doing in me, what he's doing in you. And then we're all going to go out there. That's the goal. Not to let it all end right here, and we'll see you next week right here, but to go out, because there's other sheep out there that are scattered, and Jesus wants them all into one flock with one shepherd. That's exciting, I think. So let's say we go out there, and we encounter the world, and we meet people that don't have the same kind of Christian religious language that we do. Not yet. They don't know. Or maybe they've been exposed to it in these negative situations where the language that we might use is actually harmful. It hurts them. It's something bad has happened. And they can't receive it. It's like, can you say that some other way? Because all that does is bring up trauma to me the way you're talking about this. So what do we do? If there's other sheep out there that don't speak the same language that we speak in here, we've got to learn other ways to talk about it out there. Can't just repeat things over and over, the same thing to everybody. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus never talks to people the same way, ever. Watch him in the Gospels. He doesn't talk to a Samaritan woman like he talks to a Roman, like he talks to a Gentile. They're all different because they're different people with different identities, and he's appealing to each one of them like he did to Tyler, slowly calling him, using this other guy that Tyler was like, that guy's important to me. I don't know how, and God's moving all this. But it's different for each person. That's the beauty of the Good Shepherd. So we're out there, and we want to, how do we think in different ways to communicate the beauty of the Good Shepherd? So before John 10, in the Old Testament, how did they talk about it? Before Jesus is on the scene, giving this nice, clear about the shepherd who speaks and leads, Jesus himself, he says, I am it. I am the shepherd. What about before that? What about before they understand Jesus? Before we get to that point with them, how do you talk about it? And so I just thought, well, let's go back into the Old Testament and look. And if I think about shepherd in the Old Testament, and I think about David and Psalms, I think of the famous Psalm 23, right? It's about a shepherd, and it's David. And David is praying, he's meditating on God. And this is what he says in the first line of, we can kind of listen into his quiet time here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so he's talking about, which is fascinating here, he's talking about Yahweh. So for him, for a Hebrew, you can't even say that word. Even today, they will not say that word. You don't even write it because it's that. It's so holy, there's no word for it. The self-existent one, the I am, that. You can't even say it in a word. It's actually just to inhale and exhale. That's what Yahweh means, Yahweh. It's to inhale and exhale. It means that is the first breath you take in life when you're born, and the last one that goes out of you when you die is that. It is existence. It is it that itself. But how do we think about that? The God that we can't even say. And so David is doing it like this. He's using his imagination to think about God. Are we allowed to do that? Is that allowable? My mom taught me and my brothers that our imagination was bad. And she would say to us, I know what you're thinking right now. I don't know how she knew. She was mostly right, though, and it's bad. And we're like, yeah, wow. What's our imagination for? You shut that down. You close that down. You memorize Bible verses. And not all Bible verses, because some Bible verses are bad stories that lead to bad imagination. So only the good ones. Only those. But imagination is negative. Lots of us think this. It's negative. But who gave us our imagination? God. Why? So we could image forth the unseen true. That's what it's for. To image forth the unseen true. All humans have this beautiful gift of imagination to invent and create and write and to think of new ways to do things. That's what the imagination is for. It's like, this doesn't work. Let's try and think of something that doesn't exist yet that will work better than what we're doing. There's the imagination. That's what it's for. Isaiah says, he is kept in perfect peace whose mind and imagination are fixed on God because they trust in God. So if you're going to imagine something, try and imagine God. What a great pursuit. And so that's what David, he's giving us permission to do this. This isn't bad. This isn't dangerous. So when I think of the unsayable name, I think of him like he's a shepherd. And if you read all the Psalms, David and Moses and all of them are doing this. It's like God is like a refuge. He's like a cliff. He's like the wings that we hide under. And Jesus said, I'm like a mother hen. I would gather you, and I'm a door, and I'm bread. All these images for us to help us get some sense of how do we think about this on Monday morning. And so here it is, and we miss it. It's funny how we read the Psalms at funerals. This is a psalm about being alive, not dead. It's about being alive. We're sorry that you didn't get this while you were living, so we'll just say it now. The Lord was your shepherd. You didn't know that. Like, it's funny. And so it's tragic is what it is. So we're going to go with David. So watch what he says. This is beautiful. Because we have John 10, we like know when the real shepherd comes. This is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is like my shepherd. What is that? Like, what does it mean if God is like my shepherd? It means that he's a shepherd to guide, to feed, and to shield me. And if that's true, why am I ever afraid of anything? That's how he's doing it. That's a quiet time right there. God, how do you come to me? Like, what do you like? And then, of course, for David, shepherd is super meaningful to him. If it was another person, it might be a different image or picture. God, how do you want to show yourself to me in my quiet time today? Oh, there's more than 1,000, not images like statues, but pictures of God in the Bible. 1,000. Why do you think they have so many options? Because so you're free to let your mind explore God. Come on. He's like a shepherd. And a shepherd would lead me and guide me and feed me. And I would never be in want. A shepherd would make me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. That's what you do, God, isn't it? That's what you do. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness, in right standing with him, not because I earned it. Shepherds don't do things because the sheep earned it. The sheep is not, will you lead me? And the shepherd's like, how many quiet times have you had? No. He's a shepherd. He leads. You follow. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness, in right standing with him, not because I earned it, but for his name's sake, shepherd. That's what he does. Why do you think he's mad at you? Or they're disappointed in you? He's a shepherd. This is so beautiful how David is doing this. And we're not paying attention to this stuff. But, remember with the good shepherd, he comes in, he calms us all down. Shh, lay down, calm down, rest. Shh, stop being so afraid of everything. Stop worrying about money. Stop it. I'm here to lead you. Are you calm now? Are you rested? Are you in your right self? Are you in your true self now? Yeah. okay, yeah. All right, here we go. Because we're not stopping there. What does he do? Now I'm arrested. I get it. I've had a, I'm peaceful. Okay, I'm not afraid of the day. Okay, what are we going to do now? I'm going to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death now that you're ready. What now? I like the first part. Like, what is this valley of death thing? So Jesus the shepherd laid down his life. He went all the way through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where he led. So David's like, as he's imaging God, he's like, you're the shepherd that restores me and refreshes me. Why? So I can sit by myself with all my friends that all think exactly like I do? No. I'm going to walk you through your deepest fears. I'm going to walk you through every fear you have, through every shadow of death that you're afraid of, death of rejection, death of being a failure, death of being a poor parent, death of being a poor spouse, all those fears that cripple you and make you stay right inside the fold. What kind of life is that? Let's go. Calm down, rest, calm down. You ready? I'm going to lead. Here we go. Follow me. We're going into the valley of the shadow of death. Why? So you will become fearless. That's why. Because half of what you believe is happening out there isn't even true. The stuff you're afraid of, it's not even real. But you don't know because you won't walk through it. You just self-protect and self-promote all the time. Come on, let's go. I'm leading. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of my deepest fears, that I'm inadequate, that I'm a disappointment, all those fears. These fears are worse than the thought I'm going to die one day. They're worse than that. I'm going to live as a failure. I'm going to live rejected. I'm going to live falling short of everything I ever wished happened in my life. That's the shadow of death. The shepherd walks you through it. He won't let you hide. He gets you calm, rest, get a drink. Ready? Here we go. Let's go. Yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear or dread no evil. I will fear nothing. Because why? Because I'm brave? No. Why? Because I have so much faith? No. Why? Because you are with me, shepherd. Because your rod is there to protect me and your staff is there to comfort me and guide me. Like, I don't have to make it up. I don't have to. Like, you're all alone. Good luck. We'll be back here at the fold. Go get them. Probably going to fail, but go get them. Like, no, I'm leading you. This is David and his view of God. The shepherd leads and guides. That's why I'm not afraid. And the shepherd will guide me through my fears, even though I'm afraid to go. But I can see the shepherd, and he protects. And he guides me. They comfort me. Wow, we made it through the valley of the shadow of death. Where are we now? Back to the fold? No. Oh, no. Where are we going? I've got a table set for you. Finally, good. We made it through the valley of the shadow of death. Who's coming to the party? My friends? No. People I like? Nope. Who? Well, he says it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my, wait a second, wait. What happened to the green pastures? Oh, we're done with that. You got that. You were calm. Here we go. Valley of shadow of death. We made it through, right? How do you feel? We made it through. Yeah. We're rejoicing. Good. Now we can sit down with your enemies. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Why? What am I going to do with my enemies? Forgive them. Love them. Did you not read that part? Love your enemies. Remember that part? Where's the shepherd going to lead you? There. There. Why? Because that's how we win the whole thing. That's how we win the whole city. It's like you're eating and communicating and sitting with the people that you're afraid of. That's how. And you know what happens there? I will anoint your head with oil. Where? At the table with your enemies. You won't anoint me at home? Nope. You're going to anoint me when I get with my enemies after the valley of shadow. Yeah, I know. All right, after the valley of shadow of death. And then I'll anoint your head with oil there. Where will your cup overflow with joy and goodness? In the midst of your enemies. Wow. And then he concludes, if this is right, if this is true, if the good shepherd calms me down, helps me to understand who I am, helps me to learn to hear his voice. Ready? Got it? You ready? Here we go. Straight into your deepest fears. Let's go. I will take you through your fear, and you will become fearless. And when you are fearless, then you can sit down with your enemies who you're afraid of, because you're not afraid anymore, because you went through the valley of shadow of death, and there they are. They're sitting there. They're waiting for you. Sit down with them, and I will anoint you there. And you'll say, this is the greatest place I've ever been in my life. And when that's true, that means that surely only goodness, mercy, because I'm with my enemies, and unfailing love, because God loves me and I'm with my enemies loving them, and unfailing love will follow me all the days of my life through the length of my days. The house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place, because where is he? Among my enemies. Thank you for coming to this beautiful quiet time. Amen. And this is just Monday morning. Here we go. That's what David is saying. And then Jesus comes on the scene and does it. He does it. Wow. So I'm reading that and this passage, and I'm thinking about my friend, this guy, and all this is happening. And there is no sound louder than a captive set free. Then let's go meet with the captives. The enemies, the prisoners, the brokenhearted, let's go sit with them. But I'm afraid of them. Okay, let's get rid of fear on the way to them. Who's going to do that? The shepherd is leading you into that. He's already gone before you and taken out the worst enemy of all. And he's looking at us going, now death is gone, go get him. Can't die. Go get him, go. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever seen or experienced. So I'm thinking of my friend. And I want to tell you about him. So I texted him at 5 o'clock this morning, and he texted me back in the beginning of the first service. Hilarious. So here's how I met this guy. I met him actually at about the time I met Derek and Kate. We were in Texas, and I was speaking at this church and three services church. And in between the first and second service, this guy comes up to me and says, hey, there's a guy that wants to meet you. Would you be willing to meet with him? I'm like, yeah, bring him up here. And he goes, oh, no. He would never come to a church. I'm like, oh, one of them. Okay. All right. He's not in this fold? Nope. Okay. And so I said, okay, well, he'll meet you. He's going to meet you at a restaurant, if you don't mind, after all the services, if you go meet with him. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go meet with him. And so we have one car. I tell Don, drop me off at this restaurant. I'm going to go meet this guy. This guy's waiting for me in this restaurant. Drop me off. I'll text you when I'm done. Go do whatever you do. And so she drops me off. I go into this restaurant. There's a guy. He stands up when I come in, standing at a table in the middle of this restaurant. Nice looking fit guy. I walk up to him, shake his hand, and I tell him who I am. And he goes, he's like, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here to meet you. And he goes, I don't want to meet you. So he's not waiting to meet me. He thinks the other guy is coming. So it's kind of like a blind date, I realize. It's like, like a dark eHarmony thing. Like, this is weird. He doesn't want to meet with me. And in fact, he decides... We're standing there in the restaurant, and all of a sudden, he just decides to say everything he hates about everything about God, the church, the Trinity. I mean, he went through an entire systematic theology and just cursed every part of it. Me, I was just kind of in the blast of it all. And he's just, I mean, cursing, swearing, cussing, doing this at God and everything. This little family next, they just scurried out of the restaurant. Like, that's how loud this guy was. And this one lady's got her hands over her daughter's ears. That's the level of hostility coming out of this guy's mouth. It was creepy. And I'm just standing there. And then while he's doing it, he lights a cigarette standing in the middle of the restaurant. And he's smoking and he's and like this. And here's what I say. I don't think you can smoke in here. Like, that's what I came up with. Pretty sure you're not allowed to smoke. You can cuss everyone out in this place, but I think they'll arrest you if you smoke. I'm pretty sure. That's how good how well thought out our laws are. And so the waitress comes over and she's like, you can't smoke in here. Like, you can run families out all day long, but you can't smoke. Come on now. And so anyway, so I grab him and I'm like, I pull him and he's so mad. And I pull him outside and we're standing on the curb and he just keeps going. And I push him down into a chair outside and I sit next to him and he's not slowed down. And I text Donna, we're done. Come get me right now. This is finished. And he keeps going. And then at one point he goes, I was in the Navy SEALs and they kicked me out for being too violent. I'm like, Donna, right now, get here right now. You got kicked out of the Navy SEALs for being too violent? So now I'm really terrified of this guy. And he just, that's it. He just screaming and yelling and cursing and really horrible stuff. And Donna drives up and I'm like, I just go and get in the car. And I'm getting in the car and he goes, hey. And I'm like, what? And he goes, do you want my contact info? And I'm not kidding. I said, nope. And we just drove away. There you go. Thanks for coming. Have a nice Sunday. No. And so we're driving away and Donna's like, what? What was that? And I'm like, I do not know. That is worse than any terrorist organization we've ever worked among. That was the worst thing I've ever seen. Oh, yeah. So one time he's yelling, screaming, and yelling, and I decide this must be demonic. Just to give you guys hope when you're doing stuff, this is like how wrong I am a lot of the time. So I decide I'm going to rebuke Satan while this guy's screaming at me. It's more like I saw in a movie than anything I ever read in the Bible. But I'm like, so I say out loud, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Like it didn't even slow him down. It's like you shot your best gun and it didn't. He's still alive. And I did it again. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I'm not kidding. I felt like Satan was like, listen, I'm not even in this thing. This is so bad. Anyway, Donna, like, get here. We drive away. And I'm telling her, and she, you know, And so I'm like, God, what was that? What was that? What do you think God says? God says, I want you to develop a relationship with this guy. I know. I would say the same thing. Like, what are you thinking? Like, were you not there? Not only did he cuss me out, he smoked. Come on, how far gone is this guy? And so, the Lord's like really pushing on me. I want you to befriend him. I want you to love him. And so, is that biblical? You know, and so I have to find the other guy and say, give me that guy's information again. I text this guy back as after a couple of days of making sure God meant that. And I text him back, hey, I would love to get together again with you. And he just swears. In a text back at me, it's like, oh my gosh. I didn't even want to look at it. I wanted to just throw my phone away. It was like, oh my. And then he's like, okay. At the end, okay. So I say, let's meet outdoors, way far away from humanity. Let's go far out. And we meet in this park, and we walk around, and he's just ranting and raving. He's so mad. He's so bitter. I don't know what to do. He won't let me talk. I have no idea what to do. And I've been doing this for a long time with a lot of interesting people. This has me. It's just because everything I say so offends him. And so, finally, I say I have this idea from God, and I say, this is what comes to my mind. It's like ask him if he wants to go on a trip overseas with you. That's what comes to my mind. I'm like, is this Satan? Is this Satan talking? Like, why would I do that? But I know it's not because Satan's long gone. And so I say to him, would you like to go on a trip overseas with me? And he just goes silent. He goes, what did you say? I'm like, what did I say? Why? Yeah, would you like to go on overseas tour? I would like to take you overseas with me. And he goes, I would love to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, but I don't have a passport because he's a felon on parole. And I said, well, he goes, but I could get one. I'm like, yeah, I know, probably you can. There's probably a way. That's how I start talking to him. And so we start to develop, and I just will text him and go, are you getting the passport? That's all because to get a passport, he had to be sober. Like, he had to be able to make the parole, you know, do all that and be sober. And he was never sober. He's always drugged out on something. And it's like, he texts me one time, I got a ninja motorcycle. I'm like, I just felt like calling the police. Like this. And he runs it straight into a tree and breaks both of his arms and goes to jail. Like, this is how reckless this guy is. And he goes to jail. And we got to go through this big, long process and visit him. And when I see him, the next time I see him, you know, he's in casts and everything. And he goes, like, really looking forward to that trip. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to make it. Like, now it's just a physical thing. I don't know if you're going to make it. And he's like, but it's like he had a dream in his heart suddenly. Like, something that gave him value. And I said to him, when you get overseas, this is another idea I had. I said, I think you should work with young kids. I know. I sympathize with everyone in the Bible that God tells stuff, and they're like, you're kidding. Really? Okay. And when I said that, I thought he was going to start to cry. You want me to work with young kids? I'm like, apparently we do. And I said, what would you do with them? He goes, oh my gosh, abused kids. I would love to work with abused kids because their world's out of control, and they've been hurt so badly and broken so badly, and they just need someone to love and pay attention to them, and the rage is so deep. And I realized he's describing himself. And that's what the Lord was going for, that. And he starts to get enamored with this idea of being able to help kids that are abused in other countries. And in that place is the place where the shepherd came to him. And so we did this thing together. I said, he was abused in a religious situation. So anything religious said at all, it ripped him to shreds, and he just went into hysterics over it. So there was no religious language allowed in talking to him. And the Lord's like, I have lots of ways to talk to people besides your little religious presentation. Lots of ways. And so I said to him one day, like, if love was going to be with you, how would you imagine? What would it look like? Love, unconditional love came to you. What would it look like? And I'm doing what David is doing. The Lord is my what? How would he come to you? And he said, like a father, I think. And what would the father do? He would love me. He would accept me. And this is how he began to engage the one that's always loved him. And just over, I would be with him in these short little blasts, and then I wouldn't see him for a long time, but I always texted with him. And he, one time I was speaking, and I looked up, and he was standing in the back of the place where I was speaking, just standing there, almost started crying. He's never come to anything I've ever done. And he's standing in the back, and I'm like, I'm just looking at him. And then before I'm done, he's gone. And he texts me. This is what he texts me. You're not a very good speaker. But I was like, Donna, look what he said. She goes, she said, you're not a good speaker. He didn't swear. He's growing. Lots of good people say that about him. So he starts this journey, and I'm not with him. But you know who's with him? The good father is meeting with him all the time. So me and Donna go back overseas. We're overseas for 3 years working on this project. We're pouring our lives into this thing. I text him occasionally, back and forth, wherever. And then we're overseas, we're working this project, and we're pouring our lives into it. And the last week of just solidifying the whole deal, it involved multiple countries and lots of money, and coming into the last day, and the whole thing fell apart. because someone turned us in and it all crumbled. And we got, the day we went to sign the deal, we got arrested in this other country. Me and Donna together, yay. And we got put in a cell and we were held. And then we got into, we were sent to a hearing. We didn't know if we were going to go to prison forever or what. And we go through this hearing and they seize our passports and they deport us from this country. And so the police of this country take us out, put us on a plane. They fly with us all the way back to the U.S. all in 24 hours. We're riding high. Boom, the whole thing is gone, destroyed. We're out. We've lost everything. Everything we invested in, it's all gone in 24 hours, 3 years of work. And they bring us into New York. They give us our passports. Once we come through U.S. Customs, our passports are given back to us. You're never allowed to come back here ever again. And we're just sitting in New York going, it's 5 a.m. What happened? It's like, what happened? And Donna's just crying. And we're like, what, Lord? What was that? Where are you? What, we thought we were with you. Where are you? We are in the valley of the shadow of death. How do we know that you're with us? And my phone rings, and it's this guy. This guy. And he goes, Jamie, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in New York. He goes, are you okay? Well, actually, we got arrested. He goes, yeah, I know what that feels like. and we got deported. And he goes, can I ask you a question? Yes. Will you forgive your enemies?
That's what he said.
Are you going to forgive your enemies? Because he went through this whole process of forgiving his dad. You going to forgive your enemies? Yes. Okay. Just making sure. And then he hangs up. And God said, that's how I work. That's how. Don't worry about this other stuff. Because that's countries and treaties and all that doesn't matter. This matters. He matters. You matter. And I love all of you. And I'm the good shepherd. And I will walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you get through it, guess who's sitting there to encourage you? Someone you thought was your enemy. Amen. Amen. Let's go outside with the Good Shepherd. Father, thank you so much that there is no sound louder than a captive set free. This guy that you loved and all of his brokenness and hostility and violence, you just walked him right in. The Good Shepherd. You walked him through the valley of shadow death. You walked him into the presence of his own family who were his enemies. And you made peace there for him. And now he's calling me to make sure that I'm making peace with my enemies. That's the kingdom. And it is so beautiful. Lord, would you lead us to people like him that don't know yet? Thank you for Tyler. Thank you for Christ Fellowship. Lord, the light on the hill in a dark world. Lead us out, Good Shepherd. Lead us out in Jesus' name. Amen.